This is the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. The following khutbah, our sermon, was recorded Friday, June the 22nd, the year 2001, at the Harvey Islamic Center in Harvey, Illinois. The khatib or teacher is Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله الذي أحيانا بعد ما ماتنا لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وبيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير سبحانه بكرة وأصيلا لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. Dear believers, peace be unto you. We witness that there is but one God. We worship Him in prayer and worship Him with our whole lives and worship Him alone. We associate no deity with Him, no son, no wife, no person, no nothing in creation do we associate with God as a God. God is God alone, and He needs nothing from anything outside of Himself. He exists independent of all things. Allahu Samad, that's His attribute. Allahu Samad, as Samad, means He exists eternally, not needing anything outside of Himself. And Allah says, I don't need that you should feed me. God is not one to be fed by someone. He needs no food. He never hungers. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never is tired. Never is tired. Never is affected at all by anything. He is independent, existing alone, resisting any attempt to aid Him or to change Him. He cannot be changed, and He cannot be assisted only by His servants. Says no one comes to Him except as a servant. We serve Him and we worship Him. Serving Him is the same as worshiping Him. That's why our whole life is service and our whole life is worship. To say Abdullah, I worship Allah, is also to say I serve Allah. The same. It comes from the word meaning servant. Abd is a servant. Abdan, a servant. Abdun, servant. And the highest station or place we can have in creation is that of servant. And God made everything to serve Him. The sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, everything serves God, serves Allah. And we are His human servants, His human servants. And that is the best name or the best title anyone can have, is the name or the title Abdullah. We all are Abdullah. Allah chose Muhammad the Prophet, and He called him His servant. He said, my servant. And He addresses all of us in the Quran, our holy book, Ya Ibadullah, O servants of God. All of us are the servants of Allah. We are created to serve Him. Says, He did not create the men or jinns for any purpose except to serve Him. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ for any purpose other than to serve Him. And when you accept that you have been created to serve your God, who created everything and you, you have a good life. That's all you need. Once you do that and you mean it in your heart, you have a good life. When you accept that your life was given to you for you to serve your God with that life, to serve your God with that life. Not the God that didn't create the heavens and the earth, that's not a God. If some God didn't do the creation of the sky and the earth and man, that's not a God. There's only one God, and that God is the one that did all this. And if you accept again, I say, that your life, the purpose for your life is to serve that God, you're going to have a good life. From that instant, you're going to start having a good life. No way except but for you to start having a good life. Most people in religion, they don't understand religion. See, most of them know the religion only by faith. They don't know it by good sense or by reason or by logic. Allah says, and most of them only know the religion by faith. Oh yes, I believe. My faith, this is my faith, but have no rational understanding of it. If they had a rational understanding of worship of God, their life would be in good shape. That's all you need. Allah says, if one holds to believing in the one God, though he be in hellfire, if he holds to it, it'll pull him out of hellfire. It'll pull him out of hellfire. That belief will pull him out of the hellfire. And it will. I know. Praise be to Allah. Islam is worship. And we worship God with our whole life. That is to say, worship for us is not Friday alone. It's not a Sunday. Worship for us is every minute of our lives. That's worship for us. And worship is knowing your God. When Muslims convert, when a Muslim converts to Islam, or Christian or anybody, but actually it is the Muslim that's converting, even though it be a Christian. It's the Muslim and the Christian that's converting to Islam. When we convert to Islam, we say Ashhadu. Ashhadu. That means I witness. I witness. To witness something, you have to know something. You can't witness something without knowing something. So a Muslim is supposed to become a member of Islam, a member in the following of Muhammad the Prophet, and a member in Islam, after knowing something. Not just on faith. After knowing something. Not just on faith. Not just on feeling good. I could be a good, feel-good preacher, and you all could have the place filled up. There'd be people standing all out there. See, you need a whole lot of feel-good people to do anything, but you only need a few witnesses. And they can do wonders. Now, I'd much rather have the few that know something than the many just believing and know nothing. Dumb. Yes, dumb. Just think that religion is feel-good. Oh, I feel good. Thank God. No. Religion is feeling good, all right. But it's not that temporary feel good. The real religion will make you feel good all the time. No matter how bad circumstances are for you, you'll still feel good. The real religion. Praise be to Allah. In Islam, it's prayer. We pray. We have to pray, you know. Salat. Make the salat. And the Friday Jummah is to teach us something about salat. To teach us with a silent message, a sign. It teaches us with a silent message, with a sign. Instead of doing the four rak'ahs for the noonday, we only do two, cut them in half. Only two rak'ahs for the Salat al-Jummah that replaces Salat al-Dhuhr, the noon salat. But it's made up for, as I heard one learned imam from India say, it's made up for by the khutbah. For the Salat al-Dhuhr has no khutbah, just four rak'ahs. But the Salat al-Jummah has two rak'ahs, which is half of it, half of the four, and a khutbah. So this is a sign to us. I won't explain it to you. It's a sign to us that you have two rak'ahs at noonday on the congregation day. Jummah means congregation day, the big congregation day. That's what Jummah means, congregation. So on the congregation day, you have to make only two rak'ahs, but you get a khutbah. And the khutbah is given in two sections. One, two. Praise be to Allah. So it's a sign, a wonderful sign. And Allah says to us, every creature in His holy book in Quran, every creature knows his mode of prayer. Salat. Every creature knows his mode of prayer. That means the bird also prays to God. The insect you think is nothing, crawling on the ground, prays to God. Makes salat. That means the sun makes salat. And the moon and the stars make salat. You either accept what God says or you don't. If God says every creature, He means everything in creation. That's exactly what He is saying. Everything in creation knows its mode of prayer. But more specifically, living creatures. Living creatures. But also the heavenly bodies. We know that the learned leaders in Islam, in the history, tradition of the prophets, teachings and life, they have taught us that the earth is Muslim. And the heavenly bodies are Muslims. Meaning that they obey the will of God. And we know from what Allah says of them too. He says, He said to them, come, meaning follow my way, my will, obey my will. Come, willingly or accepting or rejecting. And the creation replied to God, the heavens and the earth, everything that created, not man though, the creation for the power of God. We come willingly. Huh? The creation says, it comes. We come willingly. So that means the earth, moon, stars, all these things in what we call the inanimate world or the non-human world creation, all of these things are willingly obeying God. Now we know it's philosophical, meaning that you have to have good intelligence and you have to be an intellectually curious person and you have to think on this to appreciate what is being said fully. It requires intelligent thought. We know it. We know that. And we can pursue it with our rational mind and come to a conclusion and understand. Yes, and agree with what God says. Yes, God. I witness with my own rational mind and my own intelligence. I witness that the creation that you made obeys you willingly. Science teaches us that all this creation struggles to find its order. It struggles to find its order. If there comes an explosion that would throw things out of order, those things thrown out of order, science say, will be struggling to get back into order. And they'll eventually find order. Bodies are knocked out of their orbits, out of their tracks that they make, their circles that they make in the heavens around other bodies. They are knocked out of there. But they will struggle to find another orbit. And they won't rest until they find another orbit where they can again be in a system designed by a creator or by a designer. And they conform to that. So that tells us that it is their nature. It is the nature of matter to conform to the laws and the system and order that was created for it, or made for it, or exists for it, if you're atheist. I have no problem with the atheist. Atheist sometimes is a better Muslim than a so-called believer. Yes. So-called believers sometimes become a hypocrite and twisted up, messed up religion, talks about God. The worst thing you can do is do wrong in the name of God. The atheist, if he's doing wrong, he's not saying, I'm doing it in the name of God. So I can tolerate the atheist much more than I can tolerate the person who says he believes in God, but his life is farther from the religious life than even the atheist life. He's a devil in the path of God. On the path of God. A devil. A shaitan. Yes. Or one of the followers of the shaitan. Every creature knows its mode of prayer. Allah is saying to us then, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is He, Most High. He is saying to us that your mode of prayer is in accord with the nature I have created. Just as everything in creation is following a law and obeying the design that I made for it. Similarly, your salat that your prophet has let you in, established for you, is my mode for you. Your prophet led you to my mode. Muhammad the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the one that taught us how to pray. You won't find it in Quran. You find a little bit in Quran, but not enough to know how to do these prayers. Muhammad was the one inspired and guided by God to teach us how to pray. And he taught us how to pray. He led prayers for 20-some years. And sajda is supposed to be the best position in the prayer. No position in salat is better than sajda. And we begin standing. The first position is standing, erect. Standing erect. Erect means in perfect balance. Standing in perfect balance. And I've explained this on many occasions. This position that we take is evolved. Is evolved. Nobody really teaches you to stand. They just try to encourage you to stand, the baby. They encourage the baby to stand by maybe helping the baby pull up on something. But the baby has to get this by himself or by herself. The baby gets this balance by himself or herself. So that actually the ability to stand is an ability that's evolved. It's an evolving ability. It's evolved. It's not taught. It's evolved. And when you can stand like this, it's so comfortable after you've done it for a while or for some days. It's so comfortable to stand, you do it unconsciously. And the moment you become unconscious, you fall. Yeah, if you go to sleep. Start none, you'll fall. You either wake up or you're going to fall. The head is the first to drop. So this is an evolved feat. Accomplishment, what I mean by feat. This is an evolved feat. And it becomes so comfortable, you're not even talking of it. No effort at all. Like the body is in the heavens, going about in their balances. Seemingly without any effort. And this is how we begin our salat. We begin our salat in this standing posture. What is it symbolic of? Spiritual balance. Spiritual balance. And we go from that and we put our hands on our knees, bending over in ruku'ah. We put our hands on our knees and hold ourselves by our knees, right? You used to walk on those, didn't you? But you didn't call it walking, you call it crawling. So you go back and put your hands on your crawlers in ruku'ah. And you come back out of it and you praise God. سمي الله لمن حمده ربنا لك الحمد Yes, الله أكبر. God is greater. This is a picture of not only the evolution of one person, but it is a picture of the evolution of man. That's what we're getting from God through this wonderful prayer mode. We're getting a picture of the evolution of man. Now I went back and I touched my knees. I returned to my infancy. Or to my infancy, where I was crawling. Yes. Because a toddler is expected to take some steps. when you're crawling, you're still an infant, right? Yes. Okay. Then you rise up and you go all the way down into Sesta. And before God taught anybody with sound, God taught with signs. And that's why he said there's signs in the heavens and the earth, and as well as in you, signs everywhere. Ayah. Same what we call a verse of Quran. Same word that means a verse of... That's an emergency vehicle. If you don't have an emergency, always respect those vehicles. Emergency vehicles. Yes. Yes. So all of these are signs, signs, signs. And sign is called in the Quran, ayah. Every verse of Quran is a sign. Huh? It's called sign, ayah. Ayat, the plural, sign. And God asked, and what sign will they accept? Huh? Yes, and what sign will they accept? Many signs. So I return to what I said. The first teaching was not audibly, was not with sound. The first teaching was silent teaching, with figures, objects, pictures that your eyes saw. And your mind wants to think about it, wants to perceive. Look how beautiful. Maybe you were attracted to its beauty. Then maybe you were attracted to its mystery. Oh, how mysterious this is. The intellect loves mystery. The intellect loves beauty. And the intellect loves simplicity. Isn't that some intellect? Human mind. It loves beauty. It loves mystery. It loves that challenges it. Hard to figure out. It loves the complex. It loves the perplexing. It loves that challenges it, make it so difficult. What is this? How is sense to be made out of this? The mind loves to indulge it. But the mind also loves beauty, and the mind loves simplicity. That's why when you look at the sky on a clear night, your mind feels so good. In fact, it reaches you all down deep in your soul. It makes you feel so good inside. That's because it's so simple. It seems to be so orderly, nothing is confusing there. But after a while, you begin to wonder, how is this simple-looking picture managing to stay there like that? It appears that way every night. I've been watching it for 40 years. How does it... So after a while, the intellectual will be turned on to try to solve answer the question, how is it maintained like that? And that will take him into the mystery of it, huh? Then it becomes a mystery. Even the sky will become a mystery then. But the child in that looks at the sky is no mystery to the child. It's a mystery to the deep thinker. It's simple for the child. It's just a simple picture of beauty. A simple, beautiful picture. So peaceful and nice. Every creature knows its mode of prayer. So we are created to evolve, and we evolve from our knees to standing erect without effort, seemingly without any effort. The same way the individual evolved, so did community of man evolve, or civilization. Civilization evolved the same way. Not to stand up with the body, but to stand up with your thinking.